It's the Kim Munson Show, analyzing the most important stories.
That seems to me like government is establishing a religion.
The latest in politics and world affairs.
If you give people rights, women's rights, gay rights, whatever, there can't be equal rights if there's special rights.
Today's current opinions and ideas.
Surveys show that people still really prefer freedom versus force.
Is it freedom or is it force? Let's have a conversation.
Indeed. Let's have a conversation. Welcome to the show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That's Kim Munson, MUNSON.com. You can email me at KimMunson.com as well. Podcasts of the show, recaps of the show can be found there. And go over to Facebook and give us a like as well. We would greatly appreciate that. Great show planned for you again today. We'll go through a couple of headlines here in the beginning, as well as we'll talk with Chris Cantwell with Transworld Business Advisors to find out what's happening in the small to mid-sized business world and the buy and sell there. I think there's great opportunity for people at this particular point in time. Even when things are disrupted, there's always opportunity. Second segment, we'll talk with Jane Chaney. She is the GOP chairwoman of the Gunnison County Republicans. And there was an important piece that was in the Colorado Sun that Gunnison County second homeowners sour from being temporarily banned during the coronavirus, and they're gearing up for a political fight. If you can believe this, the Gunnison County commissioners banned people from coming to their homes. Absolutely astounding. And then in the third and fourth segment, we'll talk with Jay Davidson. You know him. He is the founder, chairman, and CEO of First American State Bank, which is a community bank right here in the metro area. And we'll get his read on what's happening in our community right now. As we look at these issues, we look at freedom versus force, force versus freedom. Ultimately, socialism comes down to force. And we've got this this new one that we coined ourselves, and that is a lot of people get hurt on the road to socialist utopia. So I want to say thank you to the team that I get to work with. That is producer Steve, Zach, Patty, Keith, and Charlie. And to you listeners, thank you. Each of you, you're treasured, you're valued, you have a purpose. Today, strive for excellence and take care of your heart, your soul, your mind, and your body. Producer Steve, happy Tuesday.
Well, thank you. You know, I guess social media is the answer to my question, but I want to know, how do I blast that out to the world, that quote, and attribute it to the great Ken Munson?
You know what? We're working on a meme on that. I talked to Zach yesterday, so we're figuring out what we're going to do with that.
Great minds. I can't wait to see what comes of that.
I know. And ultimately, socialism comes down to force. It's never compassionate to take other people's rights, their property, or their freedom, their livelihood via force, whether it's with the weapon policy, unpredictable and excessive taxation, or fear. And our inspiration for today, since we're going to be talking to Jane Chaney, I was thinking West. What could be some quotes from the West? I thought Roy Rogers. And Roy Rogers was an American singer, actor, and television host. He was one of the most popular Western stars of his era. He was known as the King of the Cowboys, and he appeared in over 100 films and numerous radio and television episodes of The Roy Rogers Show. In many of his films and television episodes, he appeared with his wife, Dale Evans, his golden Palomino, Trigger, and his German Shepherd, Bullet. He was born in 1911. He died in 1998 at the age of 86. And I have two quotes, Steve. The first one, Roy Rogers said, "I did pretty good for a guy who never finished high school and used to yodel at square dances." And the other one, he said, "Today they're making movies that I wouldn't want Trigger to see." True that, I'll tell you.
Poor Trigger, he'd be maimed for life.
Yeah, you know, and Harvey Weinstein, you know, all these different producers. You know, I remember when they really started to bump up on, moving to these R-rated movies, and it was all done under the guise of art. And actually, a lot of that art was trash. But somehow we hid that behind, again, a word calling it art, when a lot of it was really trash. So Roy Rogers, as he said, they are making movies. Today they're making movies that I wouldn't want Trigger to see. So,
and the follow-up to that, calling it art, was that it's merely a reflection of the culture. Well, I'm not sure that was really something to strive for.
You know, I think it was really pushing culture. You know, I think it was really pushing the envelope. And then I think that everyday people, you know, we started to watch things that we used to not, and it was all under the guise of art. And you know, all this was coming out of the 60s, and we've seen what has happened when, you know, when I say at the end of the show, you know, strive for high ideals, you know, read great books, listen to great music. It's one thing to read a book, and certainly there's books for entertainment, but there's books that don't take you down that road of thinking great thoughts. And you only have 24 hours in a day. So you make the decision. You have the responsibility for what you choose to do with those 24 hours, what you choose to put in your mind, what you choose to think about. It is a choice. As Reagan said in his 1964 speech, it's a time for choosing. It's a time for choosing for each and every individual to decide what they're going to do with the 24 hours that is presented to them. And, you know, we make mistakes. We, you know, we're humans. We, you know, we have the collision of reason versus passion. That's what the founders realized about mankind. That's why that we got to the point we did with the Constitutional Republic, to try to keep reason and passion in balance. And, you know, so, you know, we all make a choice. We have a time for choosing each and every minute of the day. I didn't really mean to get my mom hat on there, Steve, but I did.
Well, you've heard my speech on, you know, what I call the R&D of human nature, the rebellion and defiance. We all have it to a degree. And, you know, I think it's just tied to that. You say we want to advance, you know, we want to move towards things that's more real life. Well, you know, always pushing the envelope.
So I want to get through one headline here quickly before we get to Chris Cantwell with Transworld Business Advisors. And this is from CPR.org. And it says, it was just 11 days into the coronavirus crisis, and Colorado testing labs were overwhelmed. So Governor Jared Polis needed help. He said, and quote, Polis is quoted as saying, "We are doing our best to be one of the leading states, if not the leading state for testing." He said that on March 16th. But scaling that up has been very frustrating. Just before that news conference, Polis forwarded a memo detailing a mass testing limitations to the former CEO of an email marketing company in New York City, asking him to come to Colorado and help solve the testing riddle. "That's a long list of bottlenecks," Matt Bloomberg wrote back while preparing to travel to Denver. "No tests, no one to test, and no lab to process results." Polis responded, "Yeah, other than that, it's easy peasy. There's only one problem. Bloomberg had no experience in public health." And so I just wanted to note that. And then also, the agency had a current executive director, Jill Hunsaker-Ryan. She was hired. And the state lab lost its experienced full-time director. The disaster response division lost its logistics expert. Trained epidemiologist, including CDPHE's highest-ranking physician, left. And so CDPHE was in a bit of a disarray as well, when we're getting all of this narrative that shut down our state. And Polis, I think his handlers do a really good job. He says what he thinks people want to hear, but then behind the scenes, there's more draconian things going on. There's disorganization. And so this is a piece from CPR. It's titled "Brain Drain and a Startup CEO. This is how Colorado leapt into coronavirus testing." So you might want to take a look at that. I want to jump over here with Chris Cantwell, Transworld Business Advisors, one of my valued partners. Chris Cantwell, happy Tuesday.
Good morning, Kim. How are you doing today?
I am good. Now, what is going on in your world? Because I know that there was something with the CARES Act that was very advantageous for people that were wanting to buy a business, but we're bumping up on the time that people need to act.
We are bumping up against that wall, and it's probably at this point, it's probably not going to get done for somebody that's looking to acquire a business just now. Now, if somebody's already in a deal on a business, they're still shooting for that deadline. And I was just looking at our deal board, and we have 33 transactions in due diligence right now. And that means a seller has accepted an offer from a buyer, and the due diligence process is for buyers to do a full vetting of the business. At the end of due diligence, the buyer can decide whether or not to close on the deal, move forward, and wrap it up. That's great. This is great activity. I mean, that is a lot of deals. We typically are, kind of in the high 20s, low 30s, but again, we're at 33. Now, anywhere from half to maybe three quarters of these will get done. So there'll be at least a quarter of them that peel out and don't make it, maybe up to a half. But either way, that's just normal transaction, how the transactions lay out. So buyers are getting deals done and sellers are selling their businesses. Now, here's where the new challenge comes in, and that's with these PPP loans. And we're starting to learn how to navigate through them. Some are certainly becoming more challenging than others. Many times it depends on the bank who has paid the PPP loan. So when the business owner goes to the bank and says, hey, I've got a buyer by my business, we need to pay off this PPP loan or get forgiveness, it's causing some hurdles for sure. So there is a petition that's circulating right now seeking forgiveness of all loans under $150,000, and it's called the Paycheck Protection Small Business Forgiveness Act. I'm not exactly sure where it's been come from, but it's been circulating through the business intermediaries, the business brokers, through our associations, and we're all pretty much signing these petitions. Now, as you know, I'm not in huge favor of more government handouts, but at the end of the day, the government forced all these businesses to close and to have to lay off a bunch of people. And, I guess there's some trade-off between having the business owners pay their employees and trying to keep them versus letting all the employees get onto unemployment. And, we could debate that all day. But at the end of the day, I'm an advocate for small businesses and for entrepreneurs, and this is something else that will help them, and it'll help them get some of these deals done. So, again, the petition is for the forgiveness of all PPP loans under $150,000. And I don't know where it's going to end up, but if somebody has questions about their PPP loan and they're thinking about selling and want to talk with me, that's great. Or if somebody wants to get information on how to sign this petition, I can do that as well. And Kim, maybe I can send it. I'll send it to you, and I don't know if you can put it on your website or you can share it somewhere as well.
Okay,
If somebody wants to get a hold of me, reach me at 844-SELL-BIZ. That's BIZ 844-SELL-BIZ, or all my contact information is on your website.
That's for sure. Chris Cantwell, I think we need to have more of a conversation about that, because this is such a collision of, our principles with, government coming in and shutting down businesses. And then ultimately it's the taxpayers that are forgiving these loans. We want to protect our businesses. And then Patty has found all kinds of research where large corporations, large nonprofits, took money that this was really supposed to get to these small businesses. So I think you and I may need to do a podcast. What do you think?
We could do it. Let's do it.
Okay. Let's get that scheduled, because, this is some big questions out there. But Chris Cantwell, there's always opportunity, and highly recommend that people reach out to you, because you're in the business of buying and selling people's dreams, helping them buy and sell their dreams. So again, your phone number, I should have it memorized. What is it, Chris? It's 844-SELL-BIZ, isn't it?
844-SELL-BIZ.
Okay. Okay, great. Chris, wonderful. We'll get that podcast scheduled. You have a great day, and we'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, Kim.
Okay, we're going to go to break. When we come back, Jane Chaney, she is the chairwoman of the Gunnison County GOP, talking about what happened regarding second homeowners in Gunnison County, which really, pushes the economy there, is very good for the economy. And the Democrat county commissioner said, you can't come home. We'll find out what's going on up there in Gunnison County. Stay tuned.
Karen Levine has over 30 years in the real estate industry. The reaction to the COVID-19 Wuhan virus is presenting unprecedented and unpredictable opportunities and challenges in buying or selling your home. That is why you need to work with award-winning realtor Karen Levine. Karen Levine comes highly recommended by Kim Munson. Call award-winning realtor Karen Levine today at 303-877-7516. Karen's expertise will help guide you through this crazy real estate market. Call Karen Levine at 303-877-7516 today.
You'd like to get in touch with one of Kim Munson's sponsors, but you can't recall their phone number. Find a full list of advertising partners on Kim's website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim, M-O-N-S-O-N.com.
Hey, welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. Be sure and check out our website. That's kimmunson.com, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. You can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. We'd appreciate it if you go over to Facebook and give us a like. And at the website, sign up for our weekly newsletter. It highlights all of our upcoming guests, our guest op-eds, as well as these Sounding Off with Kim Munson podcasts. So be sure and do that. Before we get to Jane Chaney, just want to give a shout out to Hooters Restaurants, another one of my valued partners. We're starting to have some socially distanced sports. Found it very interesting that apparently one of the managers of one of the baseball teams was getting in the face of an ump, and he said, go put your mask on and we have to social distance it. It's kind of like, never really saw baseball like that. So anyway, Hooters Restaurants is a great place to go watch all the games. They have great patios. And they have specials every day, lunch specials, happy hour Monday through Friday, 3 to 6 p.m. So be sure to go to order.hooters.com, order.hooters.com for more information. I want to jump over here now with Jane Chaney. She is the chairwoman of the Gunnison County GOP, and a very important piece here. It was in the Colorado Sun that the Democrat county commissioners up in Gunnison County said to second homeowners during this whole initial COVID-19 coronavirus reaction disruption that they could not come to their second homes. Jane Chaney, welcome to the show.
Good morning, Kim. How are you this morning?
I am good. So tell us what happened up there in beautiful Gunnison County.
Yeah. So the ski resort closed, I think it was the 14th or 15th of March. And of course, just coming into spring break, we had many, many homeowners already there in the valley. And what initially happened was the county commissioner sent a letter, postcard, to the second homeowners and said, if you are here now, you must leave. Now, mind you, they had already been sheltering in place for 10 days to 14 days. So if you're already here, you must leave. If you are not here, you may not come. And these were these offenses would be under penalty of law. I think it was a $5,000 fine or 18 months in jail. And that's what they articulated to the second homeowners.
That's astounding.
Yeah, I think we were the only county in the continental United States that took that position towards our second homeowners. And like I said, many of them had already been there for spring break, and March is a big time for second homeowners. And so they had already pretty much done their, you know, quarantine and were abiding the rules and regulations that the county had already mandated. So it led to quite a bit of unrest. Some of our Texas homeowners contacted the state attorney general, Ken Paxton, and from his office came a letter to the Gunnison County commissioners basically saying this is in violation of their rights, access to their property. And, of course, that created a rather big brouhaha. And there was a back and forth between the Gunnison County attorney and the Texas AG's office. And then, lo and behold, miraculously, they were all told that they could stay. But if they were not yet in the county, they could come, but they would have to self-quarantine for 14 days. Like, if they came into the county, they could not stop, go past go. They had to go directly to their homes, stay in for 14 days, and then they could basically get into the routine with the rest of the local residents.
So it kind of sounds like the county commissioners, the current county commissioners, don't really like the second homeowners. This doesn't make any sense to me.
Well, I have to be clear that the edict came from the Gunnison County Public Health Director.
Okay.
So part of the issue and the reason that a lot of locals and especially local business owners who absolutely rely upon our second homeowners. The reason this became a much bigger issue was because the public health director basically putting out this edict, we then realized that our county commissioners were not actively involved in the process. I can't imagine that if the county commissioners read that postcard, that they would have approved. From what we understood initially, a lot of the directives were being put together between the public health director and the county attorney. And so what some of us did, and I specifically did, was write a letter to the editor and address the commissioners on their lack of involvement in this process and the lack of communication out to the second homeowners and all of the county, because we just couldn't believe that if they were aware of the language, they would have approved of it. So I'm not saying that the commissioners wrote it. I do believe it was
okay.
Sent down from public health.
Okay, so how is this playing out regarding this next election?
Well, first I'll just say that, they finally acquiesced and let the second homeowners come in. And I think at the behest of a lot of business owners and a lot of locals who depend upon the second homeowners. So the way this has actually come around is that we now have been able to find two individuals to actually run against the two incumbent Democrats. Now, one of the incumbent Democrats was given an appointment on Jared Polis's Oil and Gas Commission, so the local Democrat Party appointed a replacement for him, and she will be running. She's filling the temporary rest of his term, and then she'll be running in November. We were able to have a Republican local business owner step forward. And he said he never even thought he'd be doing this, but the way that the second homeowners were treated and the violation of their constitutional rights motivated him to step forward. The second individual is an independent woman. She's an unaffiliated woman who said this was never on her radar screen or her bucket list to run for county commissioner. But she, too, was highly motivated by the way that the second homeowners were treated. Our second homeowners provide easily over 50% of the residential property tax, which, as you know, supports our schools and roads and the hospital and all of our major services. And it just didn't seem right that they had no access to those services. And that's what motivated her to run as an unaffiliated against the second incumbent who's up for re-election.
Okay. So, Jane, we have just a couple of minutes, but you said that it was really the health department that did this edict. Mm-hmm. Did the current county commissioners, I'm just trying to figure out, were they not responsive then when all this came down, or what has really been that motivation to have people step forward to run for county commissioner?
Well, like I said, I think the motivation was that the county commissioners appeared to be absent from the process. And what I will tell you is, and I can't quote the state statute, but there is a state statute that requires every county in Colorado to have a public health director, number one. Number two, the public health directors have been given massive amounts of authority through that state statute. From what we understand, if the county commissioners cannot override what the public health directors do, but you would think that a cooperative arrangement between public health and the commissioners would have at least been able to soften the approach to, a tax base in our county that, is critical to our success, not to mention supporting restaurants, nonprofits, all of our arts and music mm-hmm. and cultural things. So, mm-hmm. Yeah, it was all one big, perfect storm that ended up driving us to get the two candidates to run against the Democrats.
Well, and Jane Chaney, this is, I think we need to have a more of a conversation on this, because this is something that has been passed through the legislature, which has basically taken the decision-making of our counties and put this in an unelected, unaccountable bureaucrat's hands. And now that the veil is off on that, we need to walk that back. So, Jane Chaney, thank you so much for joining us today for the show. And again, that piece is in the, let's see, the Colorado Sun. And you might want to take a look at that. And it's titled "The Gunnison County Second Homeowners Sour from Being Temporarily Banned During the Coronavirus, Gear Up for a Political Fight." So, Jane Chaney, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you, Kim. Make it a wonderful day.
You too. And Jason McBride had some homework. Jason McBride, Presidential Wealth Management. And he had homework yesterday. He asked homework today. Jason McBride, did you get your homework done?
Well, I got it all done, and we're still going on it since there was so much.
Okay, well, let's continue on.
Well, we were talking about earnings per share, Kim, and some of the things that might distort it and to look out for. So one other thing to keep an eye on in an earnings report is what is going on with the company's taxes, and do they have any what are called tax loss carry-forwards, which could be distorting the earnings. So this happens probably more often, Kim, like with maybe smaller companies, newer companies that may have been losing money up until recently, and now they're starting to turn profitable. If they have losses from before that they can carry forward, what may happen is that they pay very, very little tax, which, you know, that's not a distortion to the earnings, but eventually that's going to burn off. So you have to just be aware that these tax loss carry forwards can kind of boost up the earnings temporarily, and then once reality hits and they're having to pay a regular tax rate, the earnings may not look as good as they do now. So it's good to be aware if they're kind of coming to the end of the period where they can use these. And, you know, mentally, I would kind of apply a normal tax rate just to get a idea what the company will really be doing once the kind of free rent period burns off.
Well, and wouldn't you always also be looking at revenues to see if those are increasing as well? I mean, as you're kind of looking at a company like that to determine if they're really growing?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you should always look for the company to have increasing revenues as well as an increasing bottom line, both of them hopefully very, very healthy. And, you know, they hopefully are paying, you know, a full boat tax and still showing good, strong profitability, Kim.
Okay, so Jason, if somebody had a question about a specific company, you've got all kinds of resources that you could give them the information about what we're just talking about on earnings per share. I recommend that people reach out to you if they have a question about a specific stock.
Sure, absolutely. If you have a question about a company's earnings or how they rank against other companies or what does the chart look like, you know, we certainly have a lot of systems that can look that stuff up, help you out with it, and yeah, it can be very, very helpful. A lot of good, smart advisors at Presidential. Just because I'm the big mouth on here, Kim, doesn't mean I'm the smartest one there.
Okay. Well, give Jason a call over at Presidential, 303-694-1600, 303-694-1600. Jason, talk to you tomorrow.
Have a good one, Kim.
We'll be right back with Jay Davidson.
Recently, rates in the mortgage market have hit near record lows. Lauren Levy with Polygon Financial notes that the COVID-19 Wuhan virus disruption has created potential opportunities to refinance your mortgage that could save you thousands of dollars. And for those senior listeners who may be looking for another source of income, exploring a reverse mortgage with Lauren Levy may be a solution. With over 17 years in the mortgage industry, Lauren Levy has the experience to answer your questions. Call Lauren Levy at 303-880-8881. That's 303-880-8881 for a mortgage checkup today.
Now more than ever, it is important to have independent voices bringing truth and clarity to the issues facing us, our families, our communities, our state, our nation, and our world. The Kim Munson Show is one of those important voices. Kim is a truly independent entrepreneur. She purchases her broadcast time, which gives her total freedom in production of the show and scheduling of guests. If you'd like to support The Kim Munson Show, go to her website, kimmunson.com, and click on the contribute button under Kim's picture. Kim greatly appreciates your help and support.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. Be sure and check out our website. That's Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. You can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. Sign up for our weekly newsletter because that's where we roll out the op-eds, the podcasts, as well as all the guests for the upcoming week. And so you're first to learn about that. So be sure and sign up for our weekly newsletter there. And go over to Facebook and give us a like. We would greatly appreciate that as well. On the line with me is Jay Davidson. You know him. He is the founder. He's the chairman and CEO of First American State Bank, which is a community bank right here in the Denver metro area. And he's a regular guest on the show as well as a valued partner of the show. So, Jay Davidson, welcome to the show.
Hi, Kim. It's good to talk with you again.
Well, a lot has happened since the last time that we talked, but yet a lot happened since yesterday. what's your thoughts on what's happening in our state and country today, Jay Davidson?
Well, I don't know if I should warn people to put on their tinfoil hat because I'm stepping close to the line of being a conspiracy theorist, but there's so many activities right now that indicate that there's some strange movement afoot in America and in our state to move us extremely far left. I don't mind a little bit of leftism. I guess it's good for us to counterbalance the right, but I don't get the mayor and the governor of Denver and the state allowing anarchists, rioters, looters, graffiti artists to deface the state capitol and let it go on. I don't understand the mayor allowing people to accost a 5 foot tall woman, Michelle Malkin, when she was carrying on a peaceful protest.
And you know what? I've been corrected. I had called that a protest, but it was really a rally in support of the police. So I had a listener that reached out and said, now that was a rally. That was not a protest. I'm like, okay, got it. Wanted to make sure that.
Yeah, and whatever it was a Michelle Malkin and a group of Second Amendment and pro-cop people stating, using the rights of free speech to make their statements. And they were summarily attacked. The police were standing right next to them. Now, it's not the cops' fault. I know cops. They were itching to get into that fight and take these people down because this is absolutely illegal, unconstitutional, immoral, unethical, and totally wrong. But the cops had to stand by because their dear mayor is so far left, is so far, well, let's put it this way. He's so afraid of the left that he doesn't dare step up. I don't think the Mayor Hancock really wants this kind of activity in his city, but he doesn't have the courage to step up and say wrong is wrong. I don't care what you're protesting. You have the right to protest, even if I disagree with it. You don't have the right to hurt somebody physically, to attack them, to intimidate them. You don't have the right to destroy public and private property. This is our mayor and our governor, in my humble opinion, are abandoning the rule of law that this nation is built on.
Well, and it is so interesting as we see what's happening. And in a way, I find it positive, Jay, because it's bringing clarity to the issues. Now, we do see the mainstream media that's trying to cloud this, but there's significant clarity. I mean, many times these people that talked about tolerance, diversity, inclusion, I always kind of underneath the,
you know, underneath the surface, I'm like, I don't think that they really want to include me in their conversation. I don't think they really want to be tolerant of my views. And now that the veil is off, and as you mentioned, you know, there's the thuggery, there's the anarchy. And I think a lot of people are looking at this going, I don't think I want that for my community. So in a way, I'm kind of grateful that the veil is off on this, Jay Davidson.
Yeah, I agree with you. I've written that a couple of different times in different ways. And people need to wake up to what is going on here. What are the eventual outcomes of allowing thugs to protest under the name of Black Lives Matter or Antifa when they have nothing to do with black lives, they have nothing to do with anti-fascism, they're quite the opposite. BLM has proven to be a Marxist organization. The three ladies that founded it are admitted Marxists. Their goal is to burn down America if we don't acquiesce to their demands. Well, is that sedition or not? Well, yeah, it is. Sorry, folks. And Antifa, anti-fascist, when they use fascist techniques, they're just like the brown shirts in 1933 in Germany under Hitler. They're no better. In fact, in some ways, I think they're worse. And they're all organized. There's a group behind the scenes that are extremely well organized. How else would Antifa have all the bricks and all the implements already set up, the escape routes, the dual T-shirts so they could, you know, blend in with the crowd and then whip off one T-shirt and then, Antifa with the communist fist raised. So there are some things going on here that people need to wake up to, I think.
Well, most dangerous. And speaking of dangerous... several weeks ago, one of the precincts in Aurora, rioters actually chained the door of the police precinct there. And the officers were in that building for 7 hours. And then once all this kind of dissipated, they found in, quote unquote, the staging area around there, gas cans of fuel. And you're kind of like, how did that happen? I mean, this could have ended really, really badly. We can't be letting this happen in America.
Well, we are. And I know Mike Coppin very well. And Mike is not a snowflake in any sense of the word. So I think now that Mike is aware of what the stakes are, he'll be acting more aggressively to stop this kind of illegal activity.
Great.
I pray to God. I mean, those cops could have been.
Oh, it could have been terrible. It could have been terrible. And, you know, the other thing about this, though, Jay, is they talk about defunding the cops, having the cops stand down. But I've also heard that it's difficult recruiting people to step up to become a police officer. So I think that's another strategy. When you mention that there's something afoot happening, to make it so difficult on police officers, then folks may not be stepping forward. So that's another way to make our communities less safe, because we will not have as many police officers to keep the peace. And, so that is a byproduct. And I think it's by design, Jay Davidson.
I agree with that. You can read the Communist Manifesto. You can read Saul Alinsky's book on Rules for Radicals. These are all proven techniques that the communists, the fascists, even the socialists or communist lights have used and do use in their efforts to take over governments. And what we don't realize here in America is they've been quite successful in taking over governments. They're just not as successful in running countries and running economic systems, et cetera. They always fail. That doesn't stop them. So I don't think their motivation is helping the poor man or equality. I think their motivation is power, pure and simple. Whoever is at the top of that list, whoever is, the grand master pulling the strings, this person is in it for power, period. And I think we need to realize and put this thing in context of what is really happening here. There are some dangerous activities afoot. And for us to sit here and think that America is so great and so strong that we can withstand that, I don't think that's a wise move.
It's not.
And the other point, The counter, the the point that goes along with this is rule of law. Either we're rule of law or we're ruled by something else, whatever it could be, a whim of a dictator. Doesn't matter. But to not be ruled by law is antithetic to our entire nation, to our Constitution, Bill of Rights, and our Declaration, to the capitalism that exists in our nation, which is the only economic form that would work in a free nation, period. And yet that's being taken down. So I think that we in America need to honor the threat. If there's a guy out there with a gun pointed at you, you better be paying attention. And
yes,
you better be working out some plan to either engage or get the heck out of there, but do something.
Well, and I think in the next segment, I would like to talk a little bit about the rule of law, because that is something that we bring out all the time. But in a society where there's not the honoring of the Constitution, where you mentioned earlier with Michelle Malkin and those other speakers that were down at that rally for the blue, what was taken away from them was their freedom of speech, their freedom of assembly, their freedom to be able to, talk about these issues. That was taken away from them. And when that starts to happen in America, as you mentioned, Jay Davidson, it's a very dangerous thing to have happen. And so I think let's go to break just a little bit early, because when we talk about rule of law, it has to be constitutional law. You know, Hitler, Mao, all of them, they made laws which were the law of their lands, but it didn't honor the things that are so important to the American idea, and that is the rights of life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness, and this idea that all men are created equal. So with that, let's go to break. This is Kim Munson. I'm talking with Jay Davidson. You know him. He's the founder, the chairman, and the CEO of First American State Bank. We'll be right back.
Predovich & Company understands that the COVID-19 Wuhan virus disruption has individuals and businesses scratching their heads with a variety of bookkeeping, tax planning, and accounting questions. Predovich & Company knows that you need trusted professionals to help you navigate these choppy waters. Kim Munson highly recommends Predovich & Company. Because of their advanced technological capabilities, Predovich & Company can help clients anywhere in the United States. Call Predovich & Company at 303-791-3000 to organize your personal and business finances. Call 303-791-3000 today.
All of Kim's sponsors are an inclusive partnership with Kim and are not affiliated with or in partnership with KLZ or Crawford Broadcasting. If you would like to support the work of the Kim Munson Show and grow your business, contact Kim at her website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com.
Back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there, as well as you can email me at Kim Munson.com as well. We'd appreciate it if you would go over to Facebook and give us a like also. On the line with me is Jay Davidson. He is the founder, the chairman, and the CEO of First American State Bank, which is a community bank right here in the metro area. He is a regular guest on the show as well as a valued partner. Jay Davidson, always great to have you on the show.
Well, thanks, Kim. It's an honor to be here again.
So let's continue on. We left this cliffhanger out there about rule of law. And what has happened is in many of these city council, county commissioners, school board races, we have people of the far left. This Democrat Party, Jay, is not the Democrat Party of JFK. JFK talked about the value of the individual. He lowered taxes. This is not your parents' Democrat Party anymore. It is lurched so far to the left. And so these people that have gotten into office are passing laws or ordinances or rules or regulations or executive orders that don't match up to the Constitution. When we talk about the rule of law, that needs to be our true north, our North Star on what we're looking at each of these at. And when you have people that are passing things that cannot pass the muster of the Constitution and are calling them laws, we have America in 2020 right now. What's your thoughts?
Well, I do disagree with Governor Polis and his executive orders and calling them laws. They're not laws. They weren't voted on properly by the only body that is allowed to make laws, which is the Congress, composed of the House and the Senate. They were given the constitutional right to make laws, to levy taxes and fees. And the reason they were given that kind of power by the founding fathers of this nation is that the House and the Senate are beholden to the citizens every 2 years or every 6 years. And so the founding fathers felt that they would be, the legislators would be held responsible for their activities, and that it would be the population that would hold their feet to the fire and say, you will either follow the rule of law, or if you don't, I will vote you out. And I think the parting comment by Franklin after he left the Constitutional Congress, and the lady said, well, what did you give us, Mr. Franklin? He said, a republic, if you can keep it. Those last words are so critical to what he knew and what we see as a potential demise of our nation. And that is, we the people are not judging and acting and voting out or voting in legislators appropriately. And if they don't follow the rule of law, which is the Constitution, then it is beholden upon us to vote them out, period. And I know we can all complain about how difficult it is, and it is difficult, and it should be difficult. But it doesn't mean it can't be done. It can be done. So Americans need to step up and take responsibility. You can't tell me you have rights and then say you don't have a responsibility. Sorry, folks, I don't buy it. So, yeah, I think Polis is totally nuts. And it's insane that he would say that this is the law. It is not the law, Governor. You don't pass law. You're on the executive side of the House. You administer the laws that the legislators create, and they haven't created any laws here. I'm referring to something as ridiculous as these masks and the social separation and so forth. But there's other things and other examples of the far left and the far right going too far overboard in taking too much control of our lives. Both ends of the spectrum are wrong.
Agreed. The founders, you mentioned the founders and that the people that we elected would be responsible to the people. And that means we have a responsibility. We everyday people have a responsibility. We've been kind of fat and happy. You know, we felt the economy was good. We've thought that those that we elect to city councils and county commissioners and down at the state house and to the federal offices, that they have our best interests in mind. And we're realizing that maybe not so much. Maybe we need to be paying attention. But the other component of this is that that the elected, and I'm not going to call them officials anymore, Jay, they're elected representatives. Many times they've not wanted to be accountable for their decisions. So what has happened is we have this big administrative state that has occurred where they push those decisions off to an unelected, unaccountable bureaucrat, and then the elected official hides behind saying, I can't do anything about that. I mean, we've seen that with these local health departments and state health departments shutting down businesses here in Colorado, and then many electeds step back and say, oh, I don't have anything to do with that. Well, actually, they do. But talk a bit about the administrative state, and what can we do to try to peel that back, Jay Davidson?
Well, the point you make is very important, and the original law was called the Chevron deferral, where the House abdicated their sole authority to initiate taxes and pass levies and fines to the EPA in dealing with the Chevron company. There was some oil spill back in the mid-'80s. And that was the beginning of the end. I know it had been going on for a lot longer than that, but here was the House and then the Senate, they had to agree with it, abdicating all of their authority under the Constitution. It's totally and absolutely unconstitutional. The bureaucratic state is there no matter who's in power. And it grows and it grows and it grows. Drive to Washington, D.C. and look at all the beautiful buildings that are there, all of the construction that's going on, realize that in that area around Washington, D.C., are some of the most wealthy people in the world, and they are all government workers. We are paying for these people. We are paying for these beautiful buildings. When we suffer due to a recession caused by our government's actions, they don't suffer. Why is there a retirement program for the House of Representatives and the Senate that is different than ours? Why aren't they forced to go under Obamacare? They're not. They have their own little medical insurance program. So there is a long and sustained and extremely powerful, I'll call it a deep state. It's there. It's active. And we've seen them at work against President Trump. I like him or hate him, I don't really care. But what they've done to Trump, the FBI and the CIA, the Department of Justice have done to Trump is unconscionable. So, yeah, there's a deep state. There's a bureaucratic state. I say stop hiring. Let attrition take them down. We don't need all these bureaucrats passing all these laws. And I can tell you as a banker, these laws have meaning. They have cost, not only to me as a banker, but to you as a customer of a bank. If you needed to open a deposit account or take out a loan, you're paying for all this overhead. So, you know, I went on a little bit too much there, but yeah, the bureaucratic state is deadly.
Okay, so you talk about attrition, and this is something that I see could be a real positive with the COVID-19 Wuhan virus reaction disruption. And that is that, you know, many of these municipalities live off a sales tax. And, you know, many of these sales tax revenues are down significantly. I mean, government tax revenues are down because of decisions that were made by government officials. Now, to my knowledge, there's not been one state, Colorado state bureaucrat that has lost their job or been furloughed, to my knowledge, at the state level. So that says something right there. Everybody else is suffering, and they are not. They're still going to have their pensions. And that's just not fair. And so, but what's going to have to happen, and I've seen rumblings that these different states, Colorado's among them, that they're trying to figure out a way to raise taxes. We don't need to raise taxes. I think that we need to shrink government during this great opportunity that we have.
You're exactly right. There's two sides to this equation. And, of course, the Democrats and oftentimes, far too often, the Republicans go along with them, see only the tax side of the equation. Well, there is the spending side that you're addressing. And the cost side, same difference. I mean, it costs us to have all these bureaucrats, and it certainly costs us when the legislators pass all these laws that cost higher taxes and more programs and more costs. So, yeah, I think attrition is a very good way of doing it. It allows the former bureaucrats to make their own decision. You know, they're going to get out of government. I would also put a cap on raises. Why are we spending money on these folks? What good are they doing? If what is it, like 70% or more of the bureaucrats are non-essential? Okay. Do you need them if they're not essential? That's what a businessman does every day of his life. He's making those kinds of decisions. It may be tough, but that's how it has to work. So making the government, including the deep state, the bureaucrats, accountable is a very critical element in our march back to a more balanced country.
It really is important. And when Trump got into office, almost before he had even finished being sworn in, he said that basically for every new regulation that he wanted to have at least, what, two, three, several, two. How many?
Yeah. Well, it was two.
Okay.
But he actually is hitting a number like 3.5 or something.
Which that, you're seeing that play out very positive in the economy. And, of course, we were in a great, a growing economy, low unemployment before this whole COVID-19 Wuhan virus reaction disruption. So, Jay Davidson, we have just a couple of minutes left. What would be the final thought that you'd like to leave with our listeners today?
This is your nation. And this is your land. And you have rights to ownership of personal property. You have rights to free speech. Read the Constitution and the Bill of Rights. It's all there. You also have responsibility. I mean, rights don't exist in a vacuum. They exist with responsibility. We've abdicated our responsibility to whatever. We've not paid attention. Well, wake up. I mean, there's some dangerous activity going on here, and certain mayor and governor are allowing this dangerous, deadly activity to go on. That has to stop. You and we all have to take a part in this activity. I'm not saying anything violent at all. In fact, we, the middle of the road people, the citizens, the kind of like the people that want to live free and leave me alone attitude, need to be extremely controlled, self-controlled, but we also have to be very adamant that we won't stand for this kind of lack of rule of law. So use the Constitution, use your voting rights and your right to speak out, even though you will be attacked, either verbally or even physically, potentially. But if you don't, where do we go? Do you want Antifa walking into your home and saying, you know, I don't think you deserve to live here anymore? That's what happens in a communist society.
It does.
That's what we're having.
And that's for sure. So that's why we're having these conversations, Jay Davidson, is because we're engaging in this battle of ideas, and it's an important one. So, Jay Davidson, thank you so much. It's always great to talk with you.
Thank you, Kim. Keep up the good work.
Okay, you too. So our quote for today is Roy Rogers. He said, until we meet again, may the good Lord take a liking to you. So, my friends, today, be grateful, read great books, think good thoughts, listen to beautiful music, communicate and listen well, live honestly and authentically, strive for high ideals, and like Superman, stand for truth, justice, and the American way. This is Kim Munson signing off. God bless you, and God bless America. And I don't want no one to cry, but tell them if I don't serve.
The views and opinions expressed on KLZ 560 are those of the speaker, commentators, hosts, their guests, and callers. They are not necessarily the views and opinions of Crawford Broadcasting or KLZ Management, employees, associates, or advertisers. KLZ 560 is a Crawford Broadcasting God and Country station.
KLZ AM HD Denver, the source AM and FM. AM 560 and 100.7 FM. 560.